There's a new breed of revivalists that are emerging in the earth today. You were born into the greatest hour in all of history. Your job is to prepare the way and to usher in the reign of Jesus into a city and into neighborhoods and workplaces and campuses. This is what we were born for. Nothing else will satisfy you. There has to be a holy dissatisfaction. It says, God, I will not be satisfied until the entire city is saved. What you have to ask yourself is, am I going to be one of those few that says, I don't care if anybody comes with me. I'm going to give myself for revival.
You are listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
All right. Welcome to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Here we are once again.
It's a good day.
It's a good day.
Number 4 episode of the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Number. 4 is my favorite number.
Is that seriously your favorite number?
It seriously is. It was my soccer number all through the years that I played. So.
All right, well, let's get to
who's my favorite? You didn't invite me to number 2.
We've already passed it. Well, here we are again. If this is your first time, welcome to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast where we want to come side alongside you as a leader to strengthen and encourage you and just believe in you. And as always, I am Bane Leibscher, the director of Jesus Culture, and I'm here with incredible co-hosts, as we always have. On my, you're not going to see this, but on my left is
Becky Johnson,
who is
awesome.
That's that right. Is true, but on staff at Jesus Culture.
Uh-huh. I'm project manager for our creative department.
Yep, excellent.
She does so much more, too.
And an up-and-coming emerging leader in the nation.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, all right. And then across from me is
Zach Curry. I work with the creative team here and Campus Awakening and love it.
Excellent, excellent. And then on my right,
the
first time
one
ever.
And only Kim Walker Smith.
First time only. First time.
Debut only. Co-host to Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
And this has been a person we mentioned in the first one. That if you haven't listened to the first one, go listen to the first one. But this is kind of a dream come true for us, the
it
podcast.
Really is.
And I
and
can
to
tell
have
you,
Kim as a host with
well,
us.
Well, I would say that for Kim, this is a dream come true. Like she's she's led worship for a lot of people.
She's been
sold albums
quite a bit. Like Banning, let me in.
She's been blowing my phone up, Banning. I've listened to every podcast. Which
I'm
listen,
a faithful member.
Kim, here's a disturbing thing. We're going to have you introduce yourself and say hello to everybody. But we had Chris in last month as a co-host. And we had a very awkward moment.
What happened to ladies first?
Well, yeah, okay, all right. Well, I mean, yeah.
You were like, you were in another country.
This topic we're covering today, I wanted you in on. So, and we also had Chris. We said, hey, Chris, is kind of a tryout, you know? I mean, this is kind of a, you know, I'm going to see if maybe we invite you back. So this is the same thing, Kim.
There's a lot of potential down the road. A lot of potential.
But I know that Kim's been blowing up my phone saying, I've listened to every podcast. I want to be on as a host. And I said, fine. But we had an awkward moment with Chris where we said, Chris, I'm sure you've listened to the podcast. And he's like, yeah, no, I haven't at all. So I'm not even going to ask you if you've listened to the podcast.
That's good.
I'm not even going to ask you.
I don't
you,
know if
so
I know where to get a podcast.
Okay, all right. Well, there's these things called iPods, and they just came out.
And then there's iTunes.
There's iTunes and iPhone. So, Kim, listen, why don't you introduce yourself? I just want to say Kim has been with us at Jesus Culture since the beginning.
Yeah.
Before Jesus Culture.
What people know it now.
Yeah. And we were just doing youth group and all that. So, but Kim, why don't you introduce yourself real quick? Why don't you just say kind of for those that are maybe they've heard you lead worship and they've seen your conferences and stuff, but who are you and where, you know, just give us a quick little overview of your life. You got dogs, you're married.
Yes.
You're from Oregon.
In addition to being a worship leader, Jesus Culture, I am a wife to the most amazing man, Skylar Smith.
It's true. He's a good guy.
Cool. He is a man of men.
He is a man among boys.
He is. He really is. And I'm a mom to 2 dogs. They're ages 5 and 2.
Yes. She got you there.
I'm a mom Everybody to 2 just gasped right now. Duke and Stella Valentine. And I'm trying to get a third one, but Skylar won't let me.
Are you seriously trying to get a third dog?
Yeah, because I want to go and rescue all the dogs that are in the shelter going to be murdered because they're just stuck in there, and I just want to go and save them all.
This is a good example for all what we call podcasters, all those podcasters. This is a good example of why it is so crucial that I'm in Kim's life and that we should all be very afraid if I had not been with Kim for these many years. But anyways.
She was awesome.
Kim, you get that third puppy. I support
thanks,
that.
Becky. That's thank right. you.
And
thanks.
I would like to mention that Kim and I came dressed up. We are in very nice outfits.
I wish everyone could see the podcast.
That's right. Well, Zach and Banning would be embarrassed because they're wearing...
We look nice.
Yeah, we're casual. Exactly. This is casual Monday. Yeah. Becky, you've got to be excited that there's another female co-hosting.
I am. Kim, there's a spot opening up because Banning's going to be transitioning out.
Oh, awesome. So, yay, I'm going to get my application in right away,
so
actually.
So you have dogs and...
I have dogs. And where I eat lots of chocolate.
Lots of chocolate. And where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Klamath Falls, Oregon. Tiny farm town.
Oregonians.
Yep,
Oregonian. To the podcast. Okay.
I'm a hippie. I'm totally granola. I don't believe in medicine, and if I ever had kids, I'd probably give them birth out in a field or something.
Okay, all right. That along with, and your dogs would be all around. You'd have 30 dogs getting into birth in a field.
And it'd be like Lion King. We'd welcome my children into the world with some roars and, you know, shouts of praise.
Somebody needs to tweet that. Well, listen, we are very excited to have you on the podcast today. And the topic today is...
Feedback.
Feedback.
It's going to be good.
One of Becky's favorite subjects.
Oh, it's my most favorite.
Most favorite.
Becky and I actually talking, we had some feedback we could present to you.
This is like a public feedback intervention for me. Well, moving on from that, what we'd like to do is go into the section we call Music Highlight, Music Spotlight. What do we call it?
Music Spotlight.
Music Spotlight. So let's get
to
that.
Hey, have you heard the podcast?
Yes.
We want to share the music that is encouraging us right now. You are listening to the Jesus Culture Music Spotlight.
Okay, so we are going to move into the Music Spotlight, and this is where we get to share with you music that we're listening to, different worship albums and whatnot, that's really ministering to us and encouraging us right now. And Kim's going to share with us an album that she's been listening to recently.
So John Mark McMillan, who a lot of people know him, he wrote the song How He Loves.
One of our all-time favorite people.
Yep, one of our all-time favorite people and songwriters.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Obviously we love How He Loves. We love all of John Mark's albums, but he has just released an album called The Song Inside the Sounds of Breaking Down, and it's actually a re-release. And years ago he had recorded this album, and this was actually one of the first album of his that I had received, and it is my absolute favorite album of his, at least up to this date, you know. Love all of his stuff, but this one just really ministered to me in the different season that I was in at the time getting in. Every time I listen to it, it's just a refresher. It just kind of makes me feel like I'm in that season again, just reminding me of just God and his constant, you know, being there. And there's this one song in particular. I just remember it was track number 4. If I thought really hard, I could probably remember the name. But I just remember there's this line in the song that says, I can't stop crying because you won't stop calling my name. And that line always like got me so much. Like
so
just
good.
Just kind of that line kind of just summed up kind of the season I felt like I was in, and hearing that album, like just being so wrecked by a God who never abandons me and never leaves me no matter what kind of mess or craziness I may be in. So anyway, I am really excited about this album being re-released and
it's
being
like
out.
Old school / new school.
That's right.
Yeah.
Combination.
And he's like redone the songs and, you know, revisited them. And so,
yeah,
super exciting.
Becky actually caught up with John Mark on the road to go even a little bit more in depth into this behind the scene Jesus Culture Music Spotlight. We got info on the album from John Mark himself, info on songwriting, and a little bit more on just tips for worship leaders out there. As John Mark is a great songwriter and worship leader. So check this out. More from John Mark on Jesus Culture Music Spotlight.
Hello, this is Becky Johnson, and I am here backstage at John Mark McMillan's show right here in Redding, California, for the Music Spotlight of the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Thank you very much for being here with me.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
You have re-released an album just recently. It's The Song Inside the Sounds of Breaking Down. That's right. So tell us a little bit about the story behind that. It's re-released. The original isn't available anymore. So.
Yeah, we originally released it in 2005 independently. I, you know, shipped them out of my basement, and, you know, we did the whole super indie thing for a while. It's funny because it's an album. It's really the album that a lot of people began to sing my songs from, you know. So I actually, I know this is kind of boring, but we signed with a distribution deal, and we were going to distribute it, but after a couple years, they hadn't put it out yet. And so now that the deal's over, I thought, well, I'll just put it out myself because people really want it, you know. And so funny thing is, I really just put it out mostly because people just ask about it a lot. I figured they deserve to hear it, you know, and hear the story and a lot of our songs, you know, even like the Howie Love song was originally on the song Inside the Sounds. It wasn't on The Medicine. And so I thought people deserved to hear that story, and truthfully, they were getting it anyway. So I thought, I'll mix it and put it back out there for people who want to know more about that sort of time period of what we were doing.
And there's two new songs on it, or tracks that weren't originally on that. So are those newer songs that you have written, or were they originally part of it?
One of the songs was an old song that I rewrote, and we put that on there. It was from an old release. And then the other song was a song I wrote, and we recorded at one point, but I never liked the words. And so we never put it out. And I had forgotten we even ever tracked that song. So then I heard it. We were going to put some new stuff on the thing, and that song came up. I was like, well, maybe we could work up an arrangement. And the producer was like, we recorded it way, way, way back when. I was like, really? And he played for it. I was like, this is kind of cool. I rewrote the words, and it turned out to be pretty exciting.
Some of the venues, I know, I don't know if on this tour you're playing secular venues, but I know in the past on your other tours, you've played a lot, mostly. Would that be true to say secular venues? Just kind of wondering what that's like, you know, being in your genre and that whole deal.
Yeah, I would say the last year we did about 50 to 75% were just sort of regular venues, you know, and the other 25% were churches. There's something different when you do it in public. It means something different. The context is different. Also, the idea that worship and who we are, we're called to exist in public, not in these private places. And I guess part of my message was I really want to sort of blur the lines between the sacred and the profane. You know what I mean? It's like we create these two separate worlds, but we actually only live in one of them, you know? And so the idea that worship would happen within a set of songs that could go in different directions. I just want to touch you.
What is one piece of advice you could give young songwriters out there who are, you know, just one piece of advice, if they could pick your brain for one thing, what would you tell them?
I would say choose your influences wisely. A lot of people like to listen to the same people, but, you know, like, for instance, a lot of people like Coldplay, but don't just listen to Coldplay. Listen to Elton John. Listen to David Bowie. Listen to the people that Coldplay listen to, the Pixies. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Find their influences. Search them out and grow, you know, get your roots deeper into music, into literature, and that kind of stuff, all that stuff. There's this principle, it's called the iceberg principle. It's the iceberg, most, you know, 90% of the iceberg is below water. You only see 10%. So the percent that you see for everything you do, you know, you imagine there's an iceberg below what you do. So I think the other thing is just to write from life, have fun, and write about things you're passionate about. There's a lot to sing about.
Well, thank you so much. This has been really, really great. And that is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast Music Spotlight.
Well, I really am excited to tackle this topic. Again, when we sit around as a team and say, hey, what are the topics we need to bring that leaders need? And some of the feedback we've gotten from the podcast is we're talking about things that are really relevant for where people are at. And this topic for me this month about feedback is probably one of the biggest. There's a few things. When people ask me the question, what do you look for in a leader? Honestly, one of the biggest things I look for are you teachable?
Yeah.
Are you still teachable? Mm-hmm. And can you receive input? Can you receive feedback? And this is something that it's not just because I read a book about it, but really I see it all throughout Scripture. And the book of Proverbs is full of this subject of feedback. In fact, if you do a study in the book of Proverbs, it's interesting when you see words like input, knowledge, instruction, reproof, rebuke. All of those, the ability to receive those are tied to being wise, and the rejection of those are tied to being foolish. And I see, for me, with especially young leaders and even old leaders, to be honest with you, all ages of leaders, people that are able to receive feedback are the ones that grow, are the ones that have long-term success, are the ones that are able to sustain what they have. And so I'm excited to be able to sit down with you three, us four together, and just talk about this. And Kim, maybe just jump in right away with this, that this is actually a culture that we've created at
yes,
Jesus Culture. Like, this isn't just something we're talking about. This is something we live day in and day out.
Yeah, I have been sitting in your office many times and received feedback from you. And sometimes it's like, hey, can I give you some feedback? And then other times, you know, I'm going and asking, hey, can I get feedback? And not just from you, but from other team members as well. And it is a culture that we've created around here. And it's been very beneficial, you know, as we're growing and expanding. And God just keeps opening up doors and pouring out favor on Jesus Culture. It's so important for us to be able to have the inner, you know, strength as leaders, and the just the character, the integrity, everything to be able to withstand all that favor and the growth and everything that's happening. And feedback is a really important key to that.
Yeah. It's interesting. You mentioned that, you know, you said sometimes you give it to me and sometimes I go look for it. Both, I'd love for you and Becky both to address this, because you both are pretty strong personalities. And we talk about sometimes I think we don't get feedback because as strong personalities,
people are intimidated.
They're intimidated, or it doesn't look like we want it.
Right.
It doesn't look all of that. They're intimidated to come talk to you. It looks like they were going to have to gear up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that type of stuff. Tell me how both of you guys have set up your life for to really be able to receive feedback, even when maybe it doesn't find you all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that key part of being aware of how crucial feedback is to your growth. No matter who you are or what level of leadership you're in, feedback is crucial to growth. So if you want to grow, you're going to have to find feedback. And being aware, one of the greatest things probably that's happened to me is becoming aware of how people perceive me through feedback, and realizing that exactly what you said, Banning, people were afraid to give me feedback. They'd say, oh, you seem to have it all together. Do you really need feedback? Or the thing of, I'm going to have to gear up to you know, a non-confrontational person. It's difficult for them to come to someone with a strong personality and give feedback. And so the first thing I started to do when I became aware of that was, okay, I'm going to have to do the uncomfortable thing and invite it in, which wasn't easy, but it was one of the best decisions I could have made, because it has just, it's helped me so much. And it's not easy. I mean, you know that, Kim. It's definitely...
Yeah.
Hey, can
totally.
I'm ready for some feedback. Can you tell me how I'm affecting you, or how are you perceiving me? Where are areas that I'm weak, or what are some blind spots? But it was in that simple act of coming to someone and asking for it, it totally disarms you, puts your walls down, and people feel you're approachable. Okay, you want to know, so I can talk to you now and start to work some stuff out. And it's helped me tremendously. But it's something I have to be intentional with, definitely.
Yeah. I'll address the ladies with this. You know, as women, we have a tendency to be more emotional and more sensitive. And I can remember, you know, having meetings where my, you know, someone trying to give me feedback, and not only my strong personality, but I'm also this like emotional woman as well. Yeah. And so I'm immediately starting to fall apart and cry. And it's really a bummer, especially when it's a guy giving you the feedback and you know, in our environment, especially for me, I work on a band of all guys, so I'm the only girl in this group. Yep. And it's really a bummer because they're kind of sitting there and they're feeling like the bad guy. They're feeling like, what a brat, you know, here I am. I'm trying to give her feedback, but look, I'm so mean. I'm making her fall apart right now. And it makes them not really want to come and give feedback anymore because mm-hmm. they're afraid of being the bad guy. And so I've learned to, you know, through the tears, just to keep encouraging and say, yes. I know I'm crying right now, but don't stop. Come on, keep it coming. I need the feedback. Like the tears are not tears of manipulation. They're tears of I'm just feeling it. And this most likely the feedback is very accurate, yes. and something I need to hear. And my heart is going, oh no, I need to fix this. And so to really be in a place of acknowledging that and keep encouraging the feedback and keep it coming mm-hmm. so that it doesn't make people feel like the bad guy when they're trying to
I think
that.
It's a lot like communication. Like it doesn't happen naturally, or it doesn't happen well unless you're really intentional about it, you know, communication exactly. or feedback. I mean, the giving or the receiving. And I remember, like, I love how you mentioned, Banny, that Proverbs is such a great book in the Bible that just highlights the truth of needing feedback. I remember when I was really young, I think it was in high school, and I was just hungry for God, wanting to grow as a leader. And I just had been reading through Proverbs, and I kept seeing it over and over and over. And there was this point, like for me, it clicked. Like you keep seeing wisdom, mm-hmm. correction, wisdom, advice, you know, mm-hmm. like fool, wise, you know. And you know, all of a sudden I put it together for me, not that you arrive in receiving it or giving it, but you realize that you have to position your life as a leader mm-hmm. to include the aspect of feedback. And with it, I mean, the Proverbs 19:20 says, if you listen to advice and accept instruction, in the end, you'll be wise. And so wisdom isn't you can't come to a place of wisdom on your own or with your own understanding. It includes others, and to mm-hmm. include others, you have to have that interaction of feedback. Mm-hmm. And it's just a choice. You have to intend to do it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the issue of trust, because I know for me, and again, and there's so many dynamics to feedback. I mean, you know, when we're talking about feedback, even when Kim's talking about being emotional, receiving feedback, these are people that care about you. These are not yeah. like, you know, this isn't right. like, some of us, the only time we ever received feedback was when it finally got to such a point where somebody just blew up and gave feedback in an unhealthy way on us. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about, you know, a healthy environment where people right. are, they love and care for you and are just trying to give you input. But let's talk about the issue of trust, because trust is huge. Like, if I'm going to receive input, I have to trust you. And I think as leaders, again, we're talking to leaders right now. Like, we, right now, if you're listening to this podcast, it's because you're a leader. And leaders don't have a 360-degree view of their life. They just don't. Like, we all have blind spots. The Lord has not given us a 360-degree view of our life, which means we need other people.
Yeah.
And other people have insight into our life that we just don't see because we have a blind spot there. But that means we have to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that, because that feels like a big one. Like, I don't know if I really want to trust you.
Banning, you told me something when I had this exact same issue. You know, I'm in a position and I'm starting to realize, okay, I have a call of leadership on my life. And that means I'm going to need to let people give me feedback. And I was really afraid. I had a lot of walls up and I was really guarded. And I said the exact same thing to you. I said, I don't trust what these people are saying completely. So how do I move past that? And I think it was over text. You said, you know, well, you trust people because ultimately you trust the Lord. And the Lord has put those people in your life. And so if you're having a hard time trusting people, push past that, look past that and say, Jesus, I ultimately trust you. I know you've put these people in my life so I can trust them. Because I trust you. And that right there was what I needed. I thought, okay, you know what? Heartbreak might happen. People, you know, they might fall short and they might hurt you, but we've got to give people the benefit of a doubt and we've got to trust Jesus and know he's put people in our lives who are, you know, who are good for us and who are trustworthy. And so.
And I think a lot of people have grown up where words have not been used to encourage, words right. have not been used mm-hmm. to even when feedback came, it wasn't to because they cared. They the words have manipulated them. They've torn them down. They've been used mm-hmm. to control them. And so I do think it's hard sometimes because we're talking about feedback right now, probably in a way that's more constructive. Constructive feedback. No, we're not. Everybody should be encouraging everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people are just resistant to. Words have been used in a manipulative, controlling, mm-hmm. breaking down type way. And so mm-hmm. I have to sit here and listen to some hard stuff sometimes. I mean, you're leaders, which means you make messes, you run over people, you don't listen well, you're mm-hmm. unaware of the impact you're having on your environment.
That's every environment too, not just workplace. I found that, you know, in my marriage, in my relationships, my friends, my family, it's not just in the workplace or the church, really. It's everywhere.
Yeah. I think that's a good point too, is it's getting to the place where you value what feedback does, but not taking even the negative or unhealthy feedback, because that is out there, and throwing out any form of feedback because that exists. And, you know, so the kind of the principle, I think, in the Bible, even in Proverbs, it says, you know, seek many advisors or many counselors when you go to war for success, or, you know, there's mm-hmm. all kinds of references to that in Proverbs as well. And the reality is it's not just one person, especially if it's really bad. Someone could be totally giving you feedback that is the opposite of truth. But in general, you know, you're going to get a broader perspective with more people speaking into it. It doesn't mean you have to take everything personally or, you know, believe everything, but you actually, by opening yourself up to all forms, you know, but then sifting through that, you actually get a better perspective, and you ultimately your choice and what you do comes from the Lord, but He puts people around us. And I think at times He puts people that aren't, you know, maybe the best leader. I mean, look at David in the Bible. He had Saul trying to kill him, but actually it developed something in him. It developed, honor. It developed an integrity that was so much deeper than others, because even though he was getting this, you know, from the leader in his life, you know, trying to kill him, he was using that as a place of, you know, surrender at a greater level to the Lord, and God caused him to grow as a leader even greater.
Mm-hmm. You're not paralleling the Saul story with me right now, are you? That's not happening, is it?
Guys, Banning is trying to kill
really
us.
That's really awkward. You know, I think that it's interesting, because I think as leaders, we have to be aware of the impact we're having on others around us. Mm-hmm. And I think that feedback is one of the ways we know that. And I think I meet a lot of leaders that they actually do care. They're not, for me, example, my downfalls may be running over people or not listening well, things like that. But I actually care. Like, I don't want mm-hmm. people to feel devalued around me. Yeah. I don't want people mm-hmm. not to feel cared for. Mm-hmm. So for me, as hard as it is sometimes to hear again, like, I don't feel like you listen well, and when you don't, I kind of feel devalued around you. I'm like, I do want to hear that, because I actually care. I really do care, and I need that. I need to hear that.
Yeah. If you want to grow, even if you don't necessarily feel called to like a leadership position, and when we say that, we're not just referring to in the church. You know, it could be in the business world, in the mm-hmm. medical world, in the media world, and in anything. But whether or not you feel called to a leadership position or not, this is so important and so helpful to you, just in your growth as a person, just mm-hmm. in your growth, in your walk with the Lord, in just really being the absolute best person that you can be. And you know, when I'm looking for feedback, it's just me asking, going, hey, I'm just wanting to know how did I come across to you this week, and while we're doing all this project that we're working on, how mm-hmm. how did I come across, and was I pleasant to work with? You know, I try to ask very pointed questions that I'm not going to get just a yes or no, but questions that I will require genuine feedback. And then when I'm giving feedback, it's just asking, you know, the person. And you know, I'm not really giving feedback to people that I'm not actually in relationship with.
That's good.
You know, the people I'm giving feedback to are people that I am in relationship with, whether it's a work relationship or it's a friendship, whatever that relationship looks like. But there is something there that I can go and say, hey, just wondering if I could give you some feedback. And if they say yes, which usually they do, and you hope that they do, then there's an open door to mm-hmm. be able to speak into their life. Or, and sometimes it might just be, hey, I just wanted to encourage you and say that when I saw you do this, that was really incredible. And it just,
positive
I was so
feedback.
Impressed by you and by your initiative and jumping in and taking charge. And just, you know, it could be something like that. Or it could be, hey, that comment you made the other day, that kind of hurt me. And just wanted to let you know that that was kind of hard for me. Just, you know, being really
I think that's a real key. That's a real key. Those two things real quick. One is I'm in relationship with these people, which is, again, they know that I care. I have some credit in the bank with them as far as in the area of care. But also I love that we're not giving feedback to people that are not asking for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my job to jump into your life and give you feedback.
And even and
you guys could probably test this. I don't know if I ever give feedback where I don't even if it's somebody I know closely, it's like, hey, can I give you some feedback?
Yes.
Because I really am wanting to say, yes, you can. They have to open their heart.
Exactly.
If they don't open their heart, your feedback does nothing, and it actually comes across as control. It is control, and it actually defeats the purpose of what you're trying to do. It's that I'm trying to, because I care and love you deeply, I want to give feedback. Can I do that? And if you open your heart, then I want to. If not,
that right there was one of the hardest things. When we will interview Lyle, you know, later on in this podcast, but our team met with him, and when he said, you know, you ask before you give feedback, can I give you some feedback? Well, my hand shot up. The first question, what if they say no? Because I was the queen of giving people feedback, whether they wanted it or not. I wasn't going to ask you. I knew what you needed to hear. And so when he said, well, if they say no, then you walk away. Oh, I was like, wow.
And take all of this incredible feedback I'm about to pour out on you.
That would be a disservice.
I know what you need more than you know what you need.
Yes. The justice person in me knows that this has to be done right
totally.
Now.
Totally. So when I took that and I practiced it and I walked away, you know, and people said no. Lots of people said no. I don't want feedback right now. I said, okay. And it works out better.
You know, Peggy's like, hey, if you want to be a loser the rest of your life, just let me know.
But it's a good point, because people will say no. And actually,
or it's not the right time.
Yeah, that's
not
what
right
I was
now.
Say.
I'm having a hard day, you know. Don't, when someone's crying, hey, can I give you some feedback? Probably not the best time.
Throw some salt in the wound there.
Exactly.
Or, you know, your cat just died. Listen, can I give you some feedback?
Little pebbles.
Totally.
I mean, but it's also, if they don't want to receive it, you can still pray for them, and God may have shown you something, or if you do care about that person,
absolutely.
You know, like Becky said, you can wait.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we are really, actually, everybody here believes in this topic and this theme. So a leader in our life, a guy named Lyle Wells, who you're going to hear from in just a second, has really helped lead us in developing this culture. So we're going to interview him.
Yep. And before we go to that interview, which is amazing, we're going to just have a quick spot for you. So check it out.
Did you know that you can download the complete sermon of any message clip that is used on a Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast episode? It gets even better. You can also find information on past Banning Book Club recommendations, music spotlights, and even listen to full episodes of the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast you missed. All you have to do is go to jesusculture.com/podcast, and it's all yours for free, just because we like you. Check it out, and you're welcome.
All right. Well, listen, we're here with Lyle Wells. One of the things that we've mentioned to you about the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast is we want to bring you resources that at Jesus Culture have impacted us greatly. As a leader in whatever realm you're in, that we want to be able to come alongside, encourage and serve you and strengthen you. And again, one of the ways we do that is by bringing you resources and people that have impacted us. The man on today is one of those people for us, what we would consider to be a close friend of this ministry and somebody who has impacted us greatly as an entire team is Lyle Wells. So Lyle, welcome. Thanks for being on the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
It's great to be with you, Banning.
This podcast is about the issue of feedback, the importance of feedback. But before we get into that, can I get a quick kind of history of who you are? Can you introduce you? Why don't you just tell us who you are?
Well, currently I work for an organization called Integris Leadership, and our mission is to equip and encourage leaders at all levels in all types of organizations. We've been blessed to work with people like you and your team at Jesus Culture, some of the largest churches around the world. We work with athletes, CEOs, school principals and school boards, anybody with a heart to impact others with effective leadership and vision. We want to come alongside them and empower them. My background's simple. I was an educator, served in the public schools, and was a coach. Coached basketball at the college level for several years, was an athletic director, served in ministry, both as an executive pastor at a very large church and as a senior pastor at my own church plant. So I've had a unique opportunity to see leadership at a variety of different levels and from a variety of different perspectives.
Well, we are really glad that you're with us. And again, we are excited to be able to introduce you to what we're calling our podcasters. We made up a word, podcasters.
We like to come up with our own little language around here.
We come up with our own language. So we're excited to be able to introduce you to our podcasters and really just the impact you've had on us. Just for a few minutes, have you impact them. Let's just jump right in. You are somebody that has really introduced us to the concept of feedback in a major way. When you were with us, one of the phrases that you used was feedback is the breakfast of champions. Can you just jump in and talking to leaders out there, young leaders, older leaders, all in different realms, why is feedback the breakfast of champions? Why is feedback so critical for a leader?
Well, I think it starts with this premise, Banning, that no organization rises above the level or the constraints of its leadership. So one of the things I do when I get leaders together in a room is I have them all pull out their business card, and I just tell them, you know, I don't care what your title is. I want you to draw a line through that. And underneath your name, I simply want you to write two words, and those two words are the lid. Because literally, your leadership capacity is the lid on your organization. And so you're the lid on Jesus Culture, and I'm the lid on Integris and on my family. And no organization rises above the constraints or the level of its leadership. And so when you think about it, any leader who's unwilling to grow is basically unfit for leadership. I mean, you certainly wouldn't want your daughters to go to a school and sit in class with a teacher that was unwilling to grow. Zach, you wouldn't want to go to a doctor that was unwilling to grow. I certainly won't want to get on an airplane with a pilot who was unwilling to grow or take feedback from the tower. And so any leader who's serious about the impact they're having on those that they lead and that they serve will need feedback to grow, because you can't grow without feedback and accountability.
There's a lot of people out there that either one may think they're good at it, or it's one of the biggest things, even we're talking about this on the podcast, it's one of the biggest things I see, especially with young leaders, is their inability to receive feedback. Either they've never learned how to, either they're out there trying to prove themselves, so looking at all like you're failing, that you just resist at every level. They want to. Why are leaders some of the most resistant people to feedback, or the most unable to receive it?
Well, I think that's there's a bit of a double-edged sword there. I think the first is that this is a skill that not a lot of people have mastered. And so a lot of us have received feedback that has been either given in anger or in haste or carelessly, and we've been basically wounded by it. And so we're a bit gun-shy, because the ability to give feedback is a high-level skill that very few people have mastered. And so a lot of leaders are just reluctant for that reason. I think the other reason is that there's a bit of insecurity there. When we get feedback that we don't like, we want to push back, or we want to defend or justify or blame. And so it's just easier. It's kind of the wide path, so to speak, to kind of continue believing that what you're doing is right, and not ever really allowing that one or two really unique truth teller to have a voice in your life.
Wow. Well, one question for you. I love that line, feedback, the breakfast of champions. What are practical ways that you teach leaders as you're working with them, or you've found over your years and walking in this area of leadership, that a young leader or any leader can do really, you know, practically to receive it or position themselves to integrate that into how they lead and what they do in their role of leadership?
I think there's two things. I think, you know, personally, one of the things you can do is just simply go get it. Just ask for it. One of the recommendations I'd make to every leader that's listening to the podcast, and that includes Banning, you and Zach, is tonight, tonight, don't wait, but tonight, go and sit down with somebody very significant in your life, your spouse or somebody that you're serving in ministry with, or maybe one of your group leaders, if maybe you're a youth group leader, and then simply ask them this question: what is it about my leadership that's getting in the way of our relationship? What is it about me that's getting in the way of our relationship? And that's not an easy question to ask, but it starts that momentum towards learning to ask for feedback. And just as a couple of coaching points, you'll, in some cases, some people will want to just, you know, they've been waiting for that question for years, so that they've got a list that they want to give you, and they're like, well, just a minute, let me go get the PowerPoint. No, just one thing. I just need one thing to work on. Or some people will be really reluctant to tell you because, again, of fear and woundedness, you know, the sensitivity towards this. But to go in true humility and say, what is it that I need to work on? To sit down with your children once they, you know, they get into middle school or high school. This was, a practice that I had, and I would ask my children, what's one thing I need to do to be a better father? And, initially, some of the, you know, the feedback wasn't great, but as their skill grew in giving me effective feedback, you begin to build processes there.
Leaders obviously have a tendency to be very strong, very opinionated, and have a hard time listening. You know, one of the reasons why I'm such a big fan of feedback is not because I read about it in a business book, because I see it throughout the book of Proverbs. Like when I read the book of Proverbs, I see very, very much this concept of being able to receive input and correction and exhortation and to be able to listen well. How do we as leaders position ourselves to receive that feedback without being defensive, without being dismissive, without being diminishing, as well as trusting somebody? Because I think the concept of I'm giving you a feedback on a blind spot, it's a blind spot because you don't see it, which means I have a perspective on your life that you don't have, which means you're going to have to trust me. How do they set themselves up to both trust feedback and to not get in a defensive, dismissive, diminishing posture?
Well, I think I'd take you, Banning, right back to the book of Proverbs and really address two things. I mean, one is pride. And there are a lot of leaders, unfortunately, who are still very self-centered, and their focus is still very much on themselves, their goals, their agenda. You know, by definition, that's ineffective leadership. One of my favorite quotes is, you know, if it's not about others, it's broken. If it's not about others, it's broken. So I would start with the heart of the leader and just simply say, it's time to get humble and lay down that pride and lay down that personal agenda. And if you really do care about the people you lead, let's hear from them. I would also then take you to Proverbs 1:32 that says the complacency of a fool will destroy them. And I think the other thing is that some leaders get complacent. They get a bit arrogant. And if you're really hungry to make an impact, and really it's a stewardship issue. If you're really devoted to taking all the gifts that the Lord has poured into you and using them for His glory and for the good of others, then you're going to be hungry for feedback, because you know that nothing is going to accelerate your growth as a leader more than honest, authentic feedback from those who see you and work with you every day.
Lyle, one of the things that we realize is that as leaders, we're called to create a culture of feedback. So that means both the ability to receive feedback, but also the ability to give feedback. And can you maybe talk to us about that, about either for ourselves as leaders or creating a culture that feels free to give feedback? We just talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, I think it's really important as leaders that, especially if we want to receive good feedback, one of the things that we must do is model the ability to give it. And I think as a leader, there are really two types of feedback that are so important for us to share with the people that we lead. And the first would be that positive feedback, what we would call affirmation. And really, an affirmation is a form of feedback that is specific. It's praise. It's not, hey, good job. Hey, really love what you did there. But, you know, telling people, identifying behaviors, hey, listen, I really appreciate the way you handled that. You were humble and poised in the midst of a difficult situation, and you know, you modeled some real biblical behaviors there. So the more specific we can be, the more effective that the feedback's going to be. And then on the other side of that is that critical or that coaching feedback, where, you know, it's corrective or it's suggestive, and careful of our tone and body language, never with our buttons pushed. Two of the rules that we teach at Integris regarding the giving of feedback is, number one, if you think it, you need to say it. Especially if you think it twice, you need to say it and give the feedback. There's a lot of leaders out there who are thinking amazing things about their team. They're thinking how much they appreciate them and how much they admire the work that they're doing, but they never tell them. And so you're actually inhibiting your culture of feedback when you're keeping that a secret. We'll see leaders who will brag on people who aren't in the room. And one of our rules is, if you're going to say it nice about them, then you need to go say it to them. And that's one of the other you know, goals of creating that culture of feedback is actually going and sharing the feedback with them, rather than praising somebody when they're not in the room, but actually going and engaging with them face to face.
What about the real harder points where, you know, it's not necessarily affirming, but a point of maybe pain or improvement?
Those are probably one of the bigger leadership challenges. And to get over that hill, I would say two things. I would say, number one, the longer you wait, the more difficult that conversation is going to become. My experience is people just wait too long, and then the stakes become way too high, and then that conversation becomes emotional, painful, and typically doesn't end well. The other thing that I would say is that there's certainly no sin in preparing well. Make some notes. And again, the more specific, to address somebody's attitude, that can very quickly turn into a he said, she said, no, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. But if I can say, you know what, I'm concerned about your commitment to the team. And then you can point out, you know what, you've been coming late to nearly everything that we do. You've missed a couple of things. You had an opportunity to engage, and I saw you not engage at this point in this activity. And so, again, the more specific and the more behavioral, the easier it is to help people take hold of the feedback that you're giving them. And again, remember that oftentimes that's going to be emotionally charged. So you might want to, you know, give it and then give that person time to digest it before they need to reply. It doesn't all have to be done in a single moment.
Wow, that's so good.
Well, Lyle, we sure appreciate you coming and taking the time you have. I know that you're on the road right now, but you know, for all of the leaders that we care deeply about and we're doing this podcast for, just to serve them, encourage them, we really want to be able to bring people to them that have impacted us. You're one of those people, and we really appreciate that and are grateful for that. How can people connect with you about that? Integris.org. If they went to Integris.org, is that going to have the information they'll need?
Yeah, all of our contact information will be there, so that's a great resource for them.
This has been so good. Lyle, thank you for sharing with us. And we know that this topic of feedback is crucial for leadership. And here at Jesus Culture, we've definitely benefited from what you brought. Make sure everyone that's listening, check out Lyle's information that we mentioned. You can go to the jesusculture.com/podcast to get more information on Integris. You're listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Whoa. We have some great news for you. Early bird registration for the Jesus Culture Encounter Conference, January 10th through the 11th in Redding, California, is open. This means that if you register now, you save $10. Don't wait too long, though. The price goes up soon, and spots run out quick. You can find out more details at JesusCulture.com.
Banning's Book Club. Banning's Book Club.
Well, hello. Are you here for book club?
Books that all will have inspired, encouraged, and equipped us.
All right, well, once again, I think the absolute best part of the podcast is... Not Becky's book club. We shot that down last month. There was no Twitter at all for Becky's book club. It was all Banning's book club.
Just give him time.
So we're back again.
I got some Twitter fans. I mean, yeah. I could start it if you want.
You know what? I can help you out. You know what?
We'll talk
take your Twitter followers and go home. Kim is, this is her first time in Banning's Book
Inaugural.
Club. Inaugural time in Banning's Book Club. So.
All right.
Well, listen, this week for Book Club, again, like, you know, get a cup of coffee, pull up that leather recliner, sit in front of
Bear
a fire.
Skin rug.
And get your iPad out.
Are you reading on iPad or physical books, Kim?
I am old school. I read physical books. Remember, I'm from Oregon.
You're from Oregon. They didn't even know.
We
make our own books.
We have a true bond. We have had this debate going. Banning is just set on iPads, and
I'm winning people over.
I hate to say it, but I actually converted over.
Boom.
Yeah, you gotta have something to carry on.
Yes.
You know, and pass down to your dogs and your dogs' dogs and your dogs' dogs'
next generation.
Amen.
That's about the. So this week for book, this month for book club is, we're actually going to stay in this topic, and the book is called The Flip Side. Now hang with me.
The author is Flip Flippin'.
So The Flip Side, Flip Flippin', I'm not exaggerating, but this book is incredible. It's actually a book that is talking about constraints. It's the top 10 killer constraints, and the whole theory behind it is...
Banning, would you explain what a constraint is for those who may not know?
A constraint is something that's holding you back from getting where you want to go. So it's important that you understand your strengths, but you also have to understand your constraints. And their premise is that there's really top 10 killer constraints that are holding you from where you're going, but that you can actually grow in and do something about. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a really profound book for me.
I've read it.
It was a profound book for me as a husband, as a dad, as a leader, things that I already know about myself, things that I'm aware about myself, but knowing that, like, hey, I can do something about this. And they've got action plans for you. So I'd encourage you to go out and get it. Traction plans is what it is. Go out and get it. The Flip Side by Flip Flippin'. And it's going to be, you can get the link to go get it on our website.
That's right. JesusCulture.com/podcast.
All right. Thanks for being at the book club.
Becky's Book Club.
Well, this has been an incredible podcast. I know you've all enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
We have. Give it a 5-star rating if you can.
That's right.
Kim, thanks for coming and hanging out with us.
Yeah.
I think we'll have you back.
Okay.
We will.
How you feeling? I mean, are you...
Great.
Dream come true, really?
Totally dream come true. I feel like I should give like a thank you speech or something right now.
You can.
I would like to thank my mom for believing in me, and thank you, God, for giving me the gift to speak without stopping, and thank you, Banning, for the opportunity. Well. And thank you, Duke and Stella, for being the best dogs
best
a girl
dogs
could ask
ever.
For.
Which I wish, can we post, is it possible to post a picture of her dogs?
Yes, we can.
Okay, we're going to post a picture of her dogs, right. Because you have to see these two dogs. They're exact opposite dogs.
And they're so adorable.
They're adorable, but they could not be more opposite. So
it's
you're going to love seeing, we're going to post these two pictures, we're going to post pictures of your dogs, is that all right? Are you okay with the world seeing your dogs?
I totally am.
Well, listen.
Oh, wait, but we have to add, I just want everyone to know that my dog is perfectly healthy, the big one. He's just really skinny because he's a greyhound.
Oh,
I just want to make sure everyone knows that. I feed him regularly and he's very normal.
Here's what
normal,
I want you to do. Everybody's podcast real quick. Becky, your podcast, your not
my
podcast, Twitter. I apologize, your Twitter.
Her book club?
Yeah, her book club. Your Twitter is?
At Becky Fox Johnson.
Zach?
At Asa Z Curry.
Kim?
At Kim Walker Smith.
Yes. Yep. And I'm at the Banning. But here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to blow up Kim, your Twitter, with the whatever dog you have. So if you have a dog, just one word, what kind of dog is it?
All right.
And we'll see how it goes.
Pictures.
Becky and I.
Or pictures.
Or pictures.
Take pictures too.
I don't have a dog and Becky does not have a dog.
I want one though.
I have two dogs.
So it'll be like options for, you know, future choices.
I could help you find some to adopt. Yeah.
You've got like five lined up.
I do. I already picked out my third one.
Oh my
gosh. Trying to talk Skylar into it.
I have some feedback for you after this podcast. Hey, well, listen, thanks for joining us, guys. We really do count as such an honor to be able to walk alongside you as a leader, and we just believe wholeheartedly in you. Make sure you jump on to our next podcast next month. We're going to actually be talking about discipling leaders, reproducing yourself. It's going to be a great time. So join us next time.